Good morning. Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope the service is a blessing to you. For our announcements for our members, we are holding church council virtually this year. You will be sent a link by email on January 31st at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Our watchword for the week is taken from Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Please join us in singing hymn number 320, The People Who in Darkness Walked. We've been asked for prayer for Linda's friend Tammy, who has a chronic condition. We want to remember Rocky and Ray. They were in a car accident this past month, and Ray is also mourning the death of her son. We want to remember Judy, Scott, and Kelly in our prayers. This is the family of Tom Jackson, a dear friend of mine who passed away this week. And we have continued prayers for Kathy and Jeff, Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful this day to come before you, knowing that you delight to hear us, that you are God of mercy. And in your mercy, O Lord, I ask that you would heal our nation, that you would give wisdom to our leadership as they face seemingly insurmountable problems. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with our loved ones who are hospitalized and facing surgery, facing chronic illnesses. We bring before you Susan, Mark, Jack, Tammy, Donette. We bring before you Rocky and Ray. We thank you for sparing their lives, and we ask that you would surround them with your care, that you would be merciful to Ray as she continues to mourn the death of her beloved son. We would remember Judy, Scott, and Kelly this morning, that you would surround them with your comfort. For Kathy, for Jeff, for Julianne, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jaden, and Madeline, that they might know your sustaining power. And for Donette, as she takes her final journey home, that you would give to her peace beyond herself. We ask all of these blessings in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture lesson is taken from the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, that they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when the morning came, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. Then God prepared a sultry east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Pastor Dan Olson, and it's entitled Changing Your Mind. No one in my family would argue with the fact that I don't easily change my mind. They would all say I am downright stubborn, and to be honest, they're right. But when I have thought things through so well and come up with undisputable facts to defend my position, how can anybody possibly say I am wrong? That is, until I have egg on my face when I am confronted with the truth. The Old Testament character Jonah also didn't change his mind easily. God had enlisted him to go to Nineveh to proclaim the word of salvation. Jonah had a real problem with that. Nineveh was a fearsome place, a huge city not known for being a welcoming place for people like Jonah. Nineveh in Assyria had a reputation as a belligerent people, well known for terrorizing their neighbors. "Go to Nineveh? Thanks, but no thanks," said Jonah. There was one bit of dialogue in this text that Jonah seemed to overlook. Rather than destroying Nineveh, it was God's intent to save the city because they seemed to have admitted the error of their ways. God changed his mind about punishing Nineveh. So often we describe God with attributes that we think apply. We think of God as all-knowing, everywhere present. Wouldn't we like to think God never changes his mind? But he can. And he did. It's important that we grasp onto this fact. Just consider, if God couldn't change God's mind, would there be any point in asking for God's forgiveness? What a blessing it is that God can change his mind about how he thinks of us. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to talk about dealing with tantrums today, because we see an example of a great tantrum. Now, usually we think of tantrums that happen with little children, but adults have them too. Now, we had a secret weapon in our home when it came to dealing with tantrums, and that was my husband, Bob. Now, it wasn't that he screamed at a child who was having a tantrum. His voice lowered, it deepened several decibels, and as he spoke, it had a magical effect on a child having a tantrum. And one day I saw this to great effect and amusement when Robert's cousin came over to play, and something Uncle Bob said to this little child was displeasing to her. Now, this child was known for grand tantrums. When she got rolling, nobody could stop her. And we saw the face and we saw the fists, and she was ready to launch into a great performance. And Uncle Bob pointed his finger at her and said, "You ask your cousin what happens to him when he has a tantrum. It's not pretty." The child stopped instantly. Her mother was so impressed that anytime we had a family vacation, we're together, if her children started to act up, all she would say is, "I'm going to tell Uncle Bob." That usually stopped it instantly. I often think of Bob sometimes as the voice of God. Don't we think about God as one that you just don't cross, especially the Old Testament version of God? So it's a little disappointing when you read the book of Jonah, because he's really indulgent rather than the stern God Almighty that we think about. Now, in the first part of Jonah, if you remember the story, Jonah is asked to go and preach to a people that he does not want to deal with. And so God puts him in a divine time out in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Jonah changes his ways. He asks for mercy. He spit up on shore. He just barely gets the fish stink out of his clothing when God calls him again and says, "Go." And like a recalcitrant child, Jonah goes, but he decides he's only going to obey to a point. You see, he did not want to obey out of fear of the people, but out of fear that God was going to help them. And he despised these people. They were the enemy. They were the marauders. They were the people that harmed his own nation. Why should he help them? But he went, and he preached an awfully lame sermon, and I think his hope was that people would just dismiss him as some crazy man screaming out, "Nineveh's going to be destroyed." He doesn't say who told him to say this. He doesn't give them any remedy. But what Jonah didn't count on was the Holy Spirit of God, who got a hold of these people. And they said, from the greatest to the smallest, they repented. They changed their ways. They begged God, a God they did not know, to change them and to save them. And of course, God, in God's mercy, changed his mind. And Jonah pitched a fit. He was so angry. The same man who asked for mercy for himself refused mercy for another people. And he pouted and he shook his fist at God. And God, instead of saying, "You better watch it," all he said was, "Jonah, Are you doing the right thing being angry? Well, yes, I am, God. And what does he accuse God of? Being mean? Nope. You're merciful, and you're kind, and you're loving, and I just hate that right now. And so then Jonah hopes that maybe God will change his mind again, so he goes out of the city and hopes for destruction. He built a little lean-to for himself, and God, by God's miracle, created a beautiful bush that could keep Jonah in the shade. And Jonah liked it. Doesn't say he was grateful for it. It said he was very happy for it. Probably thought he was entitled to it. And then when the bush died and the sun was beating down on him, God came to him again. And Jonah said, you know, why don't you just take my life? And God said, you're angry at the bush? And he said, shouldn't I be concerned about all those people in Nineveh? And the book of Jonah ends not telling us if Jonah himself repented, not telling us if Jonah had any kind of change of heart. It ends with that question. Isn't that interesting that God ends with a question? And I believe that the book ends that way because the question has echoed throughout the centuries and echoes in our day and time because our politics have become so corrosive. The way we deal with each other has become so corrosive that God's question again is, don't those others deserve my mercy? And over the past month, what has our answer been? No! And yet we are continually called to forgive. We're continually called to ask for God's mercy. We're continually called to speak truth in the hopes that people who are going the wrong way will turn around. How will we respond when God is merciful to our enemies? The United States has had to deal with that many times in war and in peace. And the way we've dealt with other nations, the quality of our mercy has consequences. If we are unmerciful, we have seen the terrible consequences of that. And so God's message echoes today. There's a marvelous poem entitled Tantrum, and it's by Thomas Carlyle. And it's a reflection on the book of Jonah, and this is what he wrote. The generosity of God displeased Jonah greatly, and he slashed with angry prayer at the graciousness of the Almighty. I told you so, he screamed. I knew what you would do, you dirty forgiver. You bless your enemies and show kindness to those who despitefully use you. I would rather die than live in a world with a God like you. And don't try to forgive me either. And Jonah stalked to his shaded seat and waited for God to come around to his way of thinking. And God is still waiting for a host of Jonahs in their comfortable houses to come around to his way of loving. May it be said of each of us that we will come around to God's way of loving. Amen. Thank you. God go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.